The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
1 year after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the issue of the abortion pill is front and center. We'll talk about it today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Hope you had a blessed, relaxing 4th of July. Here's the number to call with any question you want to ask me in the first half of the broadcast. Bottom of the hour, I'm bringing on a special guest with a really, really important discussion. I'm going to learn a lot from it. I believe you are as well, as we talk about the status of the abortion pill. But if there's anything else you'd like to ask me, any question of any kind, anything you want to challenge me on, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. May I give you a fresh word of encouragement? Before I do, let me tell you a quick little story. Oh, I'm trying to think when this was. Probably about 17, 18 years ago. I was meeting with our School of Ministry team, and I said to everyone, and Nancy was part of our administrative team in our school, I said to everyone, I'm really excited today. And Nancy said to them, no, it's real. Something's really going on. We all laughed because I'm always excited and I'm always positive. I mean, virtually all the time, by God's grace, the way he's wired me, the result of his work in my life, a track history of over 50 years in the Lord. Everybody's different, but that's just the way he's wired me. And it's a grace on me that I believe encourages and helps others. But it's one thing to be upbeat and positive and with a smile. It's another thing when something's really happening and you say, hey, something's going on, I'm excited about it. So when I'm sharing this word of encouragement with you, it's not just out of the general overflow of divine encouragement that's in my life so much of the time and enables me to get into the trenches and get in difficult, dark situations without getting weighed down, without getting discouraged, without losing hope. And it helps me to help you. Right? That we each have our gifting. We each have things that we supply. There's so many things I can't do. So many things I rely on others to help and bring together. And then the things I can do. This is one of them. Infuse you with faith and truth and courage as you listen to the broadcast. In fact, it's my guarantee you tune in on a regular basis. You will get a regular basis. You will get a regular dose of faith and truth and courage infused into your heart, your life, your mind, your soul. Okay, so here's what I want to remind you about. We are now out more than 1 year from the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Those who were pro-lifers for many, many years, those who were on the front lines of the pro-life movement before I even was conscious of it, and people who were there before Roe v. Wade and after Roe v. Wade, they've described to me very vividly how utterly hopeless it seemed. The decision had been made. It was fixed by the court. The nation had moved on. The pro-life movement was done. Not only did it seem devastating and impossible to overturn Roe v. Wade, number one, and then almost 20 years later when the Supreme Court missed its perfect opportunity to fix that with Casey versus Planned Parenthood, and then further entrenched abortion on demand in America. So it seemed not just hopeless because the course has been set, but from what I've been told, the pro-life movement then was very divided, and mainly Catholics, some evangelical. The evangelicals had come on more in the years after that. The Catholics paved the way in many ways, for which I'm grateful and thankful. But very divided just across all fronts. And I've been told by leaders who were on the front lines then that as much as Christians are hated today for, quote, being anti-gay or homophobic or transphobic, that the hatred towards the pro-life movement back then was even more extreme. How do you overcome this? Almost 50 years of battle. And if you look around the world, there's no other nation with a strong pro-life movement that's pushed back against radical abortion laws. As they happen, they unfold. That's pretty much the way the nation goes. It's the rarest of rare to see a pushback this strong. And under no circumstances have we seen in any other nation anything this substantial. Friends, there have been many of my colleagues praying, fasting for years who have been absolutely confident in the Lord that they would see Roe v. Wade overturned. Not only that, but more and more pro-life bills being passed in state after state across America. No, the battle's far from over. In many cases, it's just gotten to stage one now that we can battle this out state by state by state. And yes, there are different states with more radical abortion laws than ever. But I read an article a week or two ago saying just in the state of Texas, they believe 10,000 babies have been saved. So 10,000 more babies born that wouldn't have been born since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I'd read that stat some months earlier about nationally as a whole. It takes a while for stats to come in. But now even within Texas itself, these are children that wouldn't be here. These are babies having a chance that wouldn't have had a chance. These are human beings getting to see the light of day rather than being snuffed out in the womb. This is massive. And friends, we have been saying for 20-plus years that as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America that changed America for the good in so many ways, that there will be a gospel-based moral cultural revolution that will change America for the good in many ways. I believe that American families can get stronger. I believe that American morals can get stronger. I believe that American spiritual foundations can get stronger. No, we'll never be a totally Christian nation before Jesus comes. No nation will be. America is still part of the world, but the kingdom of God can advance in America in a distinct way. And just as we've seen things shift in ways that would have been unimaginable, when I talked about some of these things 10 or 20 years ago and said what was coming in the society, people thought it was crazy. Thankfully, it's written. Thankfully, it's spoken. So you can go back and look and say, okay, you did tell us this was coming, and others were saying it was coming before I did. But I've also been saying the whole time that as much as things are going to shift in one direction, by God's grace, they're going to shift in the other direction. We are seeing it, friends, in front of our eyes. The pushback continues to come. I read sometimes by the day headlines on just secular sites, not even Christian sites or conservative sites, talking about further pushback against radical agendas in our country. It's not simply Republican versus Democrat. It's not simply right versus left. It's kingdom of light versus kingdom of darkness. It's gospel principles based versus principles of the world, all right? These things transcend parties, transcend simple descriptions. Yes, there may be one party that stands for certain values more than another. And yes, I, in terms of so many social moral values, I'm on the right, not on the left. But it's not a matter of right versus left, Republican versus Democrat. It's a matter of kingdom of God versus kingdom of Satan. Even candidates that we elect are imperfect representatives. We're not looking for them to stand up and preach the gospel because that's not their role. They may be strong Christians. I hope they're strong Christians. But their role is to serve the entire nation as best as possible. And what is best for our nation, yes, so hopefully they'll be infused with biblical values that they'll see these ways are best, and that can show the nation, hey, God's plan for marriage works best, and here are their biblical principles for economy that work best, and here are ways that we can see real racial issues resolved through biblical principles. Amen to all of those things. But it's not a matter of us imposing Christian values on the nation, and we're not looking for political candidates to do that. Whoever we elect is going to be an imperfect representative. Hopefully, they'll do a better job on the things that are most important to us, and that's why we vote for them. But bottom line, I just want to reiterate, the light is shining in the darkness. And I continue to hear from pastors, churches, where God is moving, where the Holy Spirit's being poured out on young people, where people are being genuinely converted. I get videos sent to me regularly by colleagues. Look at what was happening here on this college campus. Look at what happened with our young people the other night. God is moving. So those of you that are in dark and difficult places, it seems like you're running into walls. It seems that there's more opposition than breakthrough. It seems that there's more bad news than good news. We're here to stand with you. We're here to stand side by side with you, whether you're in the inner city of Chicago, whether you're in a rich suburb in Los Angeles, whether whether you are in a Jewish community in Brooklyn, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your setting and situation, be it a good setting, a bad setting, we're here to stand by your side and say, Jesus is Lord. He has risen from the dead. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. All authority in heaven and earth belong to King Jesus. I'm just telling you what different verses in the Bible say, and that we are sent in his name, and that he is with us. And if missionaries who are working in some of the darkest, most difficult places in the world, some under heavy persecution and pressure, if they can find joy in the midst of it, because the joy of the Lord is their strength, Nehemiah 8, and in God's presence is fullness of joy, Psalm 16. And Paul in Philippians repeatedly tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. If they can find joy in the midst of their circumstances, if they can find hope in some of the darkest, most intensely spiritually oppressive environments you could ever imagine, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of deprivation, if they can find joy, if they can find encouragement, all the more can we, especially those of us who live in a country like America. Despite our shortcomings, we've got a whole lot of liberty to do a whole lot more than many Christians have done through history, and many Christians are able to do even today as I speak to you around the world. We should be encouraged. Things are happening. I'm not making this up. I'm not hyping it up. Look, in the midst sometimes of everything going down, I've told you it's going to get worse, but there's going to be a turnabout. In other words, I'm not denying the realities. I don't know anybody that's reported more on some of the bad news in America on a regular basis over the last, say, 10 plus years than I have. I'm not saying there's no, I'm just saying I'm doing it all the time, over and over, seeing it, being exposed to it, and endlessly having friends and colleagues say, Mike, have you seen this? 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 So I'm not in denial. I'm not downplaying the dangerous, difficult times we live in and the downward spiral we've been on for some years. I'm simply saying the tide continues to turn. And the overturning of Roe v. Wade was absolutely massive. We told you last year would be the year of taking ground, and right in the middle of that, again, not taking over people's lives, but taking moral and spiritual ground. Right in the midst of that, Roe v. Wade gets overturned, and it's been over a year now. So let's not let up our prayer. Let's press in all the more. Let's not let up our efforts to love our neighbor and reach those around us. Let's press in. Let's make efforts even more for the glory and honor of the Lord. Okay, we come back. I'm going to go to the phones. And I'll have time for a couple of calls before we bring our guest on at the bottom of the hour. So if you'd like to call and speak with me, 866-348-7884. I'll be taking some calls on the other side of the break. Right now, a word from our great co-sponsor, Trivita. Glad to have them on the team with us.
You can't resist us.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Many of you know about the radical health transformation in my own life starting August of 2014, went from 275 pounds to 180 pounds, less than 8 months, not by dieting, but by radical lifestyle transformation, getting rid of the bad, unhealthy things, eating only healthy foods. I've kept it up by God's grace now for 9 years, going from 3 headaches a week to no headaches in 9 years, blood pressure as high as 149 over 103, now maybe 105 over 70 on average. I mean, radical transformation. And I encourage you to look at your life, look at your diet, ask, are you going in the right direction or do you need to make some changes? I also want to help you with on a very practical level. I have added into my life as well some great supplements from our co-sponsor, Trivita. In fact, that's why we work with them, because I have personally benefited from these as well. I want to commend to you three in particular. Nitric oxide, which helps with blood flow, oxygen, energy level. MyoHealth, which helps with skeletal structure, muscle, which is really important as you get older, and NoPelea, which deals with chronic inflammation. And in fact, I've learned that that's the number one killer worldwide, chronic inflammation. I take these three supplements every single day. As I travel around the world, I travel with these, and I want to encourage you strongly, check them out for yourselves. 800-771-5584. Get your free online health consultation. 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. You will get a 25% discount on your entire order, whatever size it is, and 100% of your first order will go to support the Line of Fire, and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. I use these. I commend them to you. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. So just a reminder, if you want to start where I did with these great Trivita wellness supplements, start with the nitric oxide. I think you'll see the quickest results within the first few weeks and the real benefits of this. And of course, there's a money back 1 month guarantee, but call 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. 800-771-5584. If you're calling after hours, don't worry, the folks will be glad to get back to you. And then remember, if you go online, trivita.com, use the Brown25 code for your special discount. Okay, with that, I'm going straight to the phones. Let's go to Trevor in California. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. I have a question for you. Right now, I would currently not attend a gay wedding because it, is like a celebration of the couple, as well as kind of signifies my approval of the situation and also serves as a witness. But I was thinking, Jesus went to the tax collector's house, and were the Pharisees mad at him for the same reasons that we say we wouldn't attend a gay wedding? Were they thinking like, it's because he's like showing approval of their actions by attending? So what were the reasons the Pharisees would have been mad? And if those reasons are the same as ours, then isn't it kind of analogous that we would attend a gay wedding just like right. Jesus was willing to go to the tax collector house?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question, and it's important that we raise it and think about it. So, number one, I could not in good conscience, if I was invited to a same-sex wedding, I could not in good conscience go because I would be going as a witness, I would be going to celebrate, I would be going to affirm. Obviously, when people are inviting you, they're inviting you for those purposes, and that's why you go to a wedding. Let's say, for example, your brother-in-law married to your sister, both Christians. He decides he's had it with your sister, even though she's a godly woman. He divorces her, and he marries his unsaved secretary and invites you to the wedding. Obviously, you can't go, and of course, it'd be unlikely he'd invite you. But for those reasons, you couldn't go because you couldn't affirm it, you couldn't celebrate it, you couldn't be a witness to it. But what if you said, my whole purpose is to go and share the gospel with people? And that's why I'm going to be there, to hang out, to see what table I get to sit at, to share the gospel, to build relationships, to reach out. I can't say God wouldn't send someone to do that. I couldn't see doing it myself. I would much rather try to meet with the couple privately, say, hey, can we go out for dinner together, get to meet some of the other folks just to hang out, build relationships. And if they said, hey, it's my friend's birthday party, can you come over? Yeah, gladly, hang out and neighborhood. Hey, we're doing a barbecue tomorrow. We'd like, we invited our neighbors to come. Absolutely. I'm there. Well, they're a same-sex couple. Yes. Yeah, so what? They're my neighbors, right? We're to love our neighbors ourselves. So I would make a distinction, but I was talking to very, very committed, very zealous Christian couple a few years ago. And they said God laid it on their heart to accept the invitation, and they spent the entire time, the reception time, sharing the gospel. It was wonderful to get to build relationships, share the gospel. So we have to be willing to take either the reproach of the world or the religious system to do certain things that outwardly may look wrong, but we feel led to do them. But in that case, it has to be led by the Lord, and then we can't violate Scripture. For example, God's not going to call me to share the gospel with someone in a strip club where I have to be in an environment around naked women. That would be wrong, defiling, and would send out a very wrong image. And would, well, maybe I could go there witness too, just open the door for someone else to fall. So you don't defile yourself to share the gospel, right? But many times you're in environments you wouldn't normally be in for that very reason, hanging out with people you wouldn't hang out with in order to share the gospel. So it's a similar situation. It's a different situation. I would liken it more, as I said, you got a same-sex couple next door. They're having a barbecue for the neighborhood, and you gladly come. And mainly, let's say they invite a bunch of their friends, and they're mainly gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans-identified friends. To me, that'd be wonderful. If you're welcoming me there, I'm going to get to know people, love people, see if I can share the gospel, whoever they are, whatever their background. The wedding, I'd put in a different class, personally. But it could well be that God sends someone with that assignment, and they have to honor the Lord and do it, realize they may get some flack for it, but they're doing it in obedience to Him.
Is it different because it's more of a ceremonial, like, approval?
Yes.
In the sense of, like, a meat sacrifice to idols type thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Trevor. Your thinking is quite right there. So, for example, Jesus did not attend a tax collector's meeting where they were strategizing on how to bilk people out of more money, right? If he went there, he would have had to rebuke them. He didn't go hang out with the prostitutes where they're, you know, talking about what street to stand on. And, you know, if he was there, he'd just be there exclusively to preach the gospel to them. So it's and again, in conscience, if I am attending the wedding, on some level, I am bearing witness to it. On some level, when they now say, I pronounce you husband and husband or wife and wife or whatever the phraseology would be, that is wrong to me. That is something I'm grieving over, not celebrating. And in my view, I don't see why that person would want me there if they knew my viewpoint, unless they're really trying to say, ha, see, we're doing this, like it or not, or they honestly don't know what our viewpoint is, or they just think, well, we'll accept anything. My philosophy in that case would be simply this. I would reach out to the people privately. I'd ask, is there a way, if they're local, we can have a meal together? And I tell them I'm not attacking them as individuals. I simply have these beliefs that I believe are sound and right. And because of that, it's not right or ethical for me to attend the wedding, but I'm here as a friend, and I'd like to be involved in your lives if you'll have me. You know, and if they reject you, they reject you, but at least you can do that. Hey, Trevor, thank you for the call and the great questions. I do appreciate it. Again, I myself could not attend. I cannot tell someone else that God would never send them to share the gospel, but just speaking honestly. All right, let's go to Gary in Scott Ridge, Georgia. Hey, Gary, we've got limited time, but dive right in, please.
Yes, sir. Real quick. Could you explain to me Matthew 24:34 and the best way to go about learning the biblical Hebrew language? I've been trying, but now I'm kind of stuck with learning the language.
Got it. Okay, so great questions, Gary, and I'm so sorry for short answers. What I would encourage you to do, if you're able, is to get online to, if you can afford a course, get online, learn biblical Hebrew online. It's a little hard to do on your own. And if you can do it over a period of time, right, where you're taking a class and learning and someone you can ask questions to, that's the best way. If that's not feasible, if it's not possible for you to do that, then look for Biblical Hebrew DVDs or Biblical Hebrew videos, either Biblical Hebrew DVDs or Biblical Hebrew videos. And this way you'll get a textbook, but then with video lectures that come with it. and someone taking you through the pronunciation, the grammar, and then there'll be tests you can do and get responses to. So if you just search online, either Learn Biblical Hebrew online with a teacher or Biblical Hebrew videos, then you'll be able to get more info there, Gary. As for this generation in Matthew 24:34, there are, in my view, three different potential ways to read it. One, speaking of the events that will happen in the first century with the destruction of the temple, those who see these initial things happen, this generation will not pass until the second temple is destroyed. Second alternative, he's speaking to those living at the end of the age who will see the destruction of a third temple, which has not yet been built, saying if you see X, Y happen, then you'll also see Z happen. Or, as throughout Matthew 24, there's the first generation audience and the last generation audience, and it can be applied both ways. To those living in the first generation, you see A, B, you'll also see C, D. To those living in the last generation, you see W, X, you'll also see Y and Z. Hey, thank you for the questions. Wish we had more time. God bless. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, a Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war the Jesus way, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the Line of Fire, friends, as we serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. The battle for life, the pro-life movement, massive breakthroughs last year with the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade, state after state passing legislation to protect the lives of the unborn. So much more work to be done. But what about the abortion pill? What are the risks and dangers of the abortion pill? And does that undermine the overturning of Roe? Does that undermine state authority to say no abortions in our state? Well, what about the abortion pill? I'm joined now by Dr. Ingrid Skop. She is Vice President and Director of Medical Affairs for Charlotte Lozier Institute. She has more than 25 years of experience as a practicing obstetrician gynecologist. She has personally delivered more than 5,000 babies. And check this out. She's personally cared for many women who had been harmed physically and emotionally from complications due to abortion. Of course, with today's Shout Your Abortion movement, you'd think that abortion is almost like going to a spa and you just come out refreshed and the better for it. Well, we're going to set the record straight and find out about a major, major case having to do with the abortion pill. Dr. Skop, thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. I'm happy to be with you.
First, let me just ask a larger question. What was the significance of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and with that Casey versus Planned Parenthood? Did, in all your years in the pro-life movement, did it seem like this day might never come?
Well, it's been an up and down process, that is for sure. Roe and the subsequent cases, like Casey, essentially tried to take the process of regulating abortion away from the people, which is in their legislative bodies, and put it in the hands of the judiciary. So the Dobbs decision last summer remedied that, and it put the decision back in the hands of the people. And that has been a victory for democracy, for sure.
Yeah, so when you look back at your history, what got my attention was not just the marvel of personally delivering 5,000 babies. I can't imagine the joy you've experienced and the joy of the mothers and the families. But personally caring for women who've been emotionally or physically scarred by abortion, is that something very common?
It is very common. And unfortunately, I'm an obstetrician. I have two patients. But many of the mainstream medical organizations, including ACOG, who says they represent obstetricians, have decided that they only have one patient, the mother, and that they will only take care of the baby if she wants them to. And of course, that's not the way that medicine should work. I love delivering babies, but you know, I love the women. And the reason that I am as outspoken as I am about the abortion issue is so many women that I have seen harmed, both physically, emotionally, socially, with mental health complications, just across the board. Women suffer when they choose an abortion. They fall into it in crisis. They may not even think it through, but they have the rest of their life to suffer the ramifications of that decision.
Yeah, so what are some of the ramifications for these women that you've dealt with? I want to get into the abortion pill in depth, but just first to real life experiences, because we've had many callers over the years, Dr. Skop, women who call in and break down weeping. And this is 30 or 40 years after an abortion. They know they've been forgiven by the Lord. They're solid Christians. But just we start talking about something and it brings up all kinds of old wounds, or we hear about other issues. So psychologically, physically, what are some of the common side effects of abortion?
Well, there's several things to be aware of. In recent peer-reviewed literature proves that two-thirds of women who obtain abortion, that is inconsistent with their values. That is not something they wanted to do, but they felt like they had no other choice. A quarter of those women were coerced into the abortion. Mm. And we do know that complications are common. The studies in the United States are very poor quality because of ideology. Complications are not actively tracked. They're voluntarily reported. But if we look in countries that do have good quality, I discovered that a woman is six times as likely to commit suicide than if she had given birth to that child. We see depression's higher, anxiety's higher, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and self-harm and suicide. So those are some of the mental health complications that women suffer. They suffer more frequent physical complications than the abortion industry tells us. And again, that's because in many cases, we're not actually looking for those complications. Regarding chemical abortion pills, the complications are four times as frequent as they are with a surgical abortion. But for reasons that benefit the abortion industry, those pills are being promoted to women. But of course, the women suffer disproportionately those chemical abortion pills.
What about women who are unable to conceive after having abortions? Does this also happen as well?
It can. It's certainly, infections can occur and lead to scar tissue. Other types of physical complications, a perforation of the uterus may damage the uterus so that the woman never carries a child. And another good quality study that we just published at Lozier documents that a third of the women who abort their first pregnancy never have a live birth. So for many women, they say, well, this is a time I'll have a baby later. It may not be the case that they can have a baby later or that they'll be in a position to have a baby later. So that may have been their only opportunity to carry a child.
Yeah, and so much of this is simply not reported. Okay, so the abortion pill, there are two obvious issues that come up. Number one, the effects of a chemical abortion, are they more dangerous? It's easier to just access this. And then the other side, how do you restrict it if a state has more strict pro-life legislation to protect the baby in the womb? What about the availability of the pills? So you've written about this. You've testified. I'm looking at lengthy documentation here in terms of your own testimony before courts. And there's one specific case we want to focus on. But chemical abortion, is that more dangerous than surgical abortion? So someone takes a pill, they go home, take a pill. Is that more dangerous potentially?
It is more dangerous. And I would, just to back up so that everybody understands, it's not the same as emergency contraception or Plan B, which tries to avoid a pregnancy after unprotected intercourse. A chemical abortion is two pills. Mifepristone blocks the progesterone that supports the pregnancy and kills the embryo. It's followed in 24 hours later by misoprostol that essentially induces labor to express the pregnancy tissue. It doesn't always work because sometimes the body is unable to get rid of the pregnancy tissue. And high quality studies tell us that one out of 20 women, at least when it is used according to the recommendations of the FDA, will require surgery because her body will be unable to complete the abortion. Additionally, one out of 20 women will present an emergency within a month with a complication, and that's four times as many complications as we see after a surgical abortion. So it is more dangerous. It's a terrible experience for women. They'll bleed an average of 2 weeks. 40% describe the pain as severe, and many women see their child's body in the toilet. And, of course, we have no idea how that's going to have repercussions in the future for those women. You mentioned the state laws, and we see in retrospect that this has been the plan of the abortion industry all along, that if the states ever had the ability to protect unborn human life, that they were going to use these chemical abortion pills to try to circumvent state laws and continue to provide abortions. I'm in Texas. Of course, we've had very strong pro-life protections for almost 2 years now, and I am still caring for women who have complications from chemical abortion that they've gotten illegally transported into the state. And in many cases, they go out of state, they're given abortion pills there, and they come back into the state to have their complication.
Mm. So you're talking about even a good case scenario, the woman may bleed for a couple of weeks. In many cases, they'll be in severe pain. In many cases, they'll actually, if the baby's developed a little more, they pass something in the bathroom and there in the toilet is a little bit. These are not the horror stories. This is not even the 1 in 20. This is something that is just, the bleeding is common, the pain is common, the trauma of seeing the little limbs or baby parts in the toilet. This is common as the natural result of the abortion pill, correct?
That is the normal experience. That's not a complication. That's the normal experience for women who have chemical abortions.
Got it. And then those that need emergency treatment, they're not expecting this, right? They're or need surgery, they're just home. And now they're going through this crisis. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, these women are told by the abortion providers that it's safer than Tylenol. This is extremely misleading. What they're referencing is the 600 Americans who die every year from Tylenol overdoses. And they're saying, we don't know of this many deaths from chemical abortion. But of course, a woman thinks, oh, it's like taking a Tylenol. It gets rid of my headache. I'll take these pills. It'll get rid of my pregnancy problem. And of course, they're not being counseled on how frequent complications are, because the abortion industry doesn't care to know how frequent complications are. And the FDA also does not care. In 2016, they modified their requirements so that complications didn't need to be reported unless they killed a woman. And unfortunately, in 2021, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they took away the in-person supervision requirements. So women can order these pills online. They can have them delivered to their mailbox without ever seeing a doctor, without any medical supervision. No ultrasound is done to find out how far along a woman is, or to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy. No labs are done to find out, is she anemic, where perhaps she shouldn't take these pills? Does she need Rogam to prevent future pregnancy complications? And in fact, no one ever looks the person ordering the pills in the eye to discover, is that a woman who wants an abortion, or is it a sex trafficker, incestuous abuser, coercive boyfriend who wants that woman to have an abortion? So all of the things that used to safeguard chemical abortion have been taken away by the FDA.
All right, friends, I've got a few more minutes with Dr. Scott. This is super important. I mean, this is a massive, massive life and death issue. We're talking about averting a plague on human life here. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow, known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s, and by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with...
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I'm holding in my hands a multi-page detailed statement by Dr. Scott before the courts. This is Exhibit 8 in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas, Amarillo Division. A case ultimately that has gone before federal courts in a case of great importance. So Dr. Scott, please tell us where things stand currently with the FDA and the abortion pill, and then about the significance of this current case.
Yeah, so the case you're referencing is Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus the FDA. And at its root, this case is an opportunity to provide oversight to the FDA. I told you before the break that they have consistently removed restrictions. In fact, when they approved mifepristone, the first component of the abortion pill regimen, in the year 2000, they did so under political pressure from President Clinton. They broke their own rules. They categorized pregnancy as a life-threatening illness, which, of course, it's not, so they could fast-track. They never did pediatric studies, even though there is no lower age limit. And like I say, over and over again, they've taken away anything that might make these dangerous drugs safer. So when one of our government organizations is not following its mandate, which is to protect the American people from dangerous drugs, this is an opportunity for the court system to provide oversight. Where it stands now, Judge Kaczmarek in the Amarillo District Court said, absolutely, this drug should have never been approved when he read the real data. It went to the Fifth Circuit, where they said, well, maybe it should have been approved, but it should be limited to its initial conditions of improvement. In other words, not taking away all these safeguards. It briefly went to the Supreme Court. They really didn't judge on the issue. They said, send it back to the Fifth Circuit for a trial, and the trial has occurred. So right now, we are waiting to find out what the Fifth Circuit is going to say. I think any honest observer, if they read the actual medical data, will recognize that the way it's being allowed to be used now is inappropriate and is dangerous. And so I am very hopeful that we will have restrictions on these chemical abortions, or perhaps taken off the market entirely, because as I mentioned earlier, there are four times as many complications as there are with a surgical abortion. So any kind of a ruling would not make abortion illegal. It would just mandate that a safer method of abortion be used. So that's where we are. Inevitably, it will go back to the Supreme Court, because no matter what the ruling is, I'm sure someone will not be happy with it.
Right. And do you know, as the Fifth Court is currently constituted, which way they would tend to lean, a more conservative, a more liberal way? Are you aware of recent rulings with the current court?
Yeah, I think that many observers are optimistic that this is a conservative court. But again, the data is so compelling that regardless of how a judge may feel about abortion, when they look at the data about how dangerous chemical abortion is, I would be optimistic that they would rule the way that we would like for them to rule.
Got it. And then, aside from praying for righteousness and for people to have a pro-life mentality in the most holistic way, is there anything individuals can do? Is it just a matter of getting educated, praying? This is not right now something before politicians to make decisions. So what's your practical advice to people who are listening saying, wow, this is abortion pill, it's worse than I realized, and if anyone could theoretically get it, you know, how do you keep it out of people's hands? So what would you recommend to those that would like to actually do something but don't know what to do?
Well, I think we all recognize it's a spiritual battle, so of course prayer is very important. But even pro-life people, I have discovered, do not understand chemical abortion. So education is key. The mainstream media and mainstream medical organizations do not care to let the American people know the truth about this drug. LozierInstitute.org is our website. We have a specific pages called AbortionDrugFacts.com, where there is so much data. So I think educating oneself and then educating your friends, is key, because until the American public are educated about these drugs, they're not going to understand, and they're not going to be able to push back at these dangerous policies that the FDA is allowing.
Again, friends, Lozier spelled L-O-Z-I-E-R, and Lozier Institute. Okay, last question for you. There are some, Dr. Skop, who feel that we have to kind of be all or nothing. In other words, even a heartbeat bill, theoretically a woman could still have an abortion under that, and that it has to be all or nothing at all, that every incremental step is still allowing for baby lives to be taken. What's your own perspective on that?
Well, of course, morally, every abortion ends a human life, which is abhorrent. It's abhorrent to anyone who is a moral, ethical person, and it's abhorrent to God because he lovingly created those lives. But in our society that has gone so far from biblical morality, we do pragmatic and get what is possible to get politically. In Texas, 10,000 lives have been saved because of our pro-life law that went into effect last year, which is amazing. So that is a win. But we haven't protected every baby, even though the law is trying, because of these chemical abortion pills coming in illegally. So we do the best we can do, but ultimately what we need to do is change hearts and minds so that people recognize that abortion is ending a human life, and that in so many cases, it is harming the mother, too.
Yeah, friends, LozierInstitute.org, America's number one source for science, data, and medical research on the value of human life. I'm looking at the website, but I read that verbatim from the site, so you understand this is not a polemical website, a propaganda website, an emotionally based website. It's a scientific fact-based website. And because of scientific fact, along with biblical worldview, it's why it is a pro-life website. Dr. Skop, thank you for your time. I know you're busy, but thanks for sharing this with us. And hopefully we can enlist more and more people to stand together to bring a culture of life to America. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. Science is on the side of the pro-life position, undoubtedly.
Absolutely. God bless you. All right. What an insightful and important interview, and what a massively important topic. Look, friends, it can be overwhelming, right? It can be overwhelming when you look at all the problems. You know, maybe you're just reading about all the shootings in America. It's like, how in the world do you stop that? And many in cities with strict gun control laws and constant shootings, like, how do you deal with that? Or the massive epidemic of fentanyl overdoses. So I mean, for American adults, what is it, age 18 to 45, fentanyl overdose is the number one cause of death in America right now. So these are deaths that could all be prevented. And how much of this is coming because of Chinese influence and coming through the Mexican border and so on and so forth. And then, okay, we got Roe v. Wade overturned, but now we've got the abortion pill can just sweep in. We will never have the eradication of darkness in this world. Even when it comes to caring for the poor, Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. That's reality in this world. Mother Teresa was once asked, how is it that she keeps hope and a positive attitude in the midst of where she's in Calcutta? Because what they would do is they would bring in the sick and the dying, and they would give them basically a good death. They would love them and care for them and maybe give them attention they'd never received their entire life. But this is one person. What if they helped 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 or 2 in 10 or 5 in 20? I mean, still it's overwhelmingly negative. And she said one less. So I want to encourage you you live in a neighborhood. Maybe it's 5% genuinely born-again Christian. The other 95%, yeah, well, it's not going to be 100% Christian, certainly not a large community of, you know, millions of people before Jesus comes, but maybe you'll get 10%, maybe 20%, maybe 50%. Either way, when one person gets saved, we rejoice. That's one life. That's one life. That's someone that was hellbound that's now heavenbound. That's someone who was a child of the devil is now a child of God. That's someone that used to curse God now praising God. That's someone whose hands and eyes and mouth used to be used by the enemy for evil or destruction. Now they're sharing the gospel and helping people in need. So you rejoice with the good. You grieve over the bad. You take that to the Lord. But then you rejoice over the good. You're encouraged by the good. And at all times, you keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Because in his presence, no matter what agony you're going through, no matter how real the loss, the bereavement, the crisis, the pain, there's no discouragement or despair in the presence of God. And even if he doesn't give an immediate answer to your question or immediate relief from the situation, his presence is enough. Hundreds of millions of people can say it's absolutely true. His being with you in a real way is enough, and he will carry you through. Gam ke lech begeit salmavet lo yara, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deepest darkness, I fear no evil. Yet tell you, my you are with me. But friends, if you haven't downloaded my app, you need it. It'll bless you. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, ASK, Dear Brown Ministries. Take a minute, download it. You won't regret it.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.